Normally, an intro like this is used for the passing of a wrestler, but I think even family deserves this. In this case, we speak of Michael Moody, one of Pallbearer's sons, has passed away. Let's see. He and his brother were both at the Hall of Fame for the induction of their father, and I am unfortunately a horrible researcher, so I have not had a chance to look and see which of these two brothers this was. So sad news to open the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and at the table tonight, I only have a couple of people, but that's okay because I have a couple of nor'easters that ought to keep us occupied. So I'll start with our tech, VRM.
Yeah, Tech, who was playing around with the webcam settings before we start got on the air.
And he danced for us. And somebody who didn't touch his video button for probably religious reasons, Jason Block.
To add more to this, Michael Moody had no life insurance, by the way.
Oh.
And he left his wife and two daughters. And there's no funds for funeral services. And there is a GoFundMe page, which as of now has raised $4,325. And it's at this link. And hopefully, Carl, I'm going to put this in our Chief High. If we could put this on the page, there it's right there. Take a look at that. It's at GoFundMe.com/EUTOG8. That's EUTOG8. You know, if you got $5, I know holidays are coming and stuff, but, you know, wife, two kids, unbelievable. Sad.
I know that WWE has extended condolences. I would kind of hope that Vince or Hunter would be willing to throw a couple of bucks in the pot too, but we'll see.
I hope they do. Seriously, I hope they do.
As do I. I want to get to some good news, and I know the first thing I'm going to hear is that can't be good news. There's no such thing as good news.
I'm Mark, and I'm really smart.
The internet seems to not love what happened with Night of Champions this past Sunday. I thought they did all right for the fact that they had to rewrite a couple of things, VRM.
And that they didn't get a final script until 5 o'clock.
Oh, that was Raw. Or did they rewrite the pay-per-view too?
I think I was reading that it was the pay it was one of the it was one of the two where they didn't get a final script till 5 o'clock the day of the show. I
Sounds
forget
like
which I.
Raw. I think that's Raw because the pay-per-view had its own little change because of a medical emergency. Oh boy.
But you were saying VRM?
Yeah, it was like I didn't really find much wrong with it, other than is like the one thing I'm curious about is how they're gonna is them trying to shoehorn the feud, like not Dean Ambrose returning, which that was awesome.
Yes. And to that poor cabbie, sorry man, he didn't even have $9.99 on him. But just the fact that they've been thrown into a holding pattern because Roman Reigns was rushed to the hospital on Saturday with
A incarcerated hernia.
and I could make a really, really gross joke, but I'm not going to. Kappa, I may be proud though.
But ow, 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 ow. Yeah,
Yeah, he had an
not
incar.
fun.
Yeah, it's this is a big deal. I mean, it was in the lower abdominal area. And they took care of they took care of it, but when you're talking about the body's core, you need to give that time to heal. which means Roman Reigns is comfortably out until the Rumble. Which I think is what threw a few things into a booking panic. The good news was Ambrose was done shooting the movie. And I'm positive he was scheduled to come back Monday if they didn't have him already booked for the pay-per-view. But yeah, this was probably one of the best parts of the night. Go ahead.
Yeah, they had I just looked it up. It's like it was 3 days of TV, and they didn't get the script until 5 o'clock for a Night of Champions.
Okay, so yeah. But it was panic. It was you had to rewrite it because I know that they had a lot planned for Reigns. They had some nice touches with the pay-per-view. The first, just the intro. Jason, you and I were both kind of drooling over this because they were actually showing us the metalworking that went into the making of the belts.
That was, I think, one of the best touches of the entire night. No joke, okay? This was beautiful. As a guy, again, son of an industrial arts teacher, who respects metalwork, and I'll use a 50-cent word, filigree, which is the which is the stuff on, the drawings on metalwork and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. It was awesome. Great stuff.
The pre-show, we had some wonderful stuff with Jericho and a wild Christian appears. And a not-so-wild Orton appears. Someone makes a South Park reference that even I got.
They did?
I think it was Randy who called Christian and Jericho Terrence and Phillip.
Oh, God! No kidding! Oh my God. he called him a bunch of gay Canadians. Very nice. Okay.
And one of those two wanted to do something with it, but Orton cut him off. I was kind of disappointed. I'm not a South Park fan, but I would have sat still for this. The show, I've heard complaints about the show, but I have no complaints. Well, maybe I do. I will not complain that we have new tag team champions. The Dusts finally have their cosmic keys, or are they the cosmic keys? Because Stardust can't make up his mind. He was yelling for it during SmackDown. I'm like, dude, you had it around your neck a little bit ago. Cesaro, Sheamus delivered. We knew that this was going to be stiffer than a hurricane wind. Sheamus retains, which I'm okay with. We had a random plug during a match that I don't think they should have done it during this match. During Ziggler Miz, we have the arrival of Florida Georgia Line. And they get to sit and commentate. In fact, they get their hands on some of the guys during the match. I had a small problem with that, VRM. But maybe it's just me.
I was more wondering like why I was like, did they do the intro or something or. I was wondering what the point of them being out there was, because it seemed like they just sort of got shoehorned in.
Well, they came down, apparently, I bet part of the deal for them coming in for the pay-per-view was that they did get a chance to get involved, but they also had a moment to announce that they would be performing at Tribute at the Troops this year. Which is great, wonderful, awesome. You could have announced that on Raw. Don't be taking camera time from Mizdow.
And also, it could have been done a better way. I mean, cute, they got over Mizdow and all that stuff. Big deal, I mean, you're right. It could have been done better. Do it like, an Instagram video or something like that. Not this.
Or a Vine or a tweet or
a tout. Oh.
No, you can't use, you can't say that anymore. No.
I know. But no, this was unnecessary. This was a little unnecessary. I mean, I understand that, you know, Tribute to the Troops is a big deal for WWE, and, you know, JBL, if you could talk about it for 3 hours, and I'd rather him talk about that than anything about, you know, 318 million Americans disappointed in Mark Henry, Jack Swagger, whoever. So they kind of distracted a bit from the match that didn't need any further distractions with R. Ziggler, Damian Mizdow, and the fact that Ziggler got to show off a lot more than just wrestling moves thanks to The Miz, and nobody caught it on a camera. Miz with two handfuls of tights, and boy was Ziggler showing off. And they were using the camera.
Moon over Nashville. That's
true. Or my running joke of the whenever I have a wrestler that's going to be off shooting a movie, Moon over Manitoba. the handheld was focused on Miz, so I didn't get to see Ziggler. So I protest. So to any of my listeners, if you know somebody who was at this show and was sitting rampside with the cameras facing them, get this picture for me, please. That's it. It's just so I feel better, because Miz did win the match, but I wanted to get something out of it. Anyway, between that, well, I shouldn't say that, because Mizdow is freaking gold. I'm already a sucker for Damian Sandow, but what he's doing with Miz as essentially parroting everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Talk, sell, holds, even when he's not in a match.
Just seeing the clips from Main Event.
Oh, with him sitting behind Miz while he was yelling at Ambrose?
Yeah.
what was also brilliant is when Miz gave the figure four in either Night of Champions or the Raw match, he fell on the ape on the floor on the outside and gave it at the same time.
Yes.
That's gold right there. No joke. That is gold. Beautiful.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Like I said, I realize that I'm already admittedly a mark for Damian Sandow, but what he is doing right now, I could watch, you know, you are making me watch Miz. A miracle in itself. But I could watch Sandow mimicking Miz all night. To the aforementioned lunatic fringe who decided to show up in a cab when Rollins said, "Hey, guess what? You know, Roman Reigns is faking that he had to have emergency surgery. So I'll take a forfeit win. Ref, raise my arm."
Now, ref counts to 10, then raise my arm.
And if you looked, Nate is looking at him like, "You are a dick."
And I messaged you. I said, "Oh, dick move," and you said, "No, good heel."
Exactly.
Yes.
It was beautiful because the crowd was like, "No, you bastard!" Blah blah blah. Where's Ambrose? So to make sure, Rollins sets out an open challenge because he doesn't have any idea where Dean is, and he should know better because Happy Scary Dean can be anywhere.
Including on public transportation.
That cabbie never did get paid.
No, he did not. but the beauty of this is he comes out, okay, mm-hmm. and he doesn't do anything, you know. He just slams the door and gets the fuck out of Dodge and runs right into the ring and kicks the crap out of Rollins. And it was gorgeous to watch. It was just, you know, as you said, happy scary Dean.
And happy scary Dean is always welcome on my television. So happy scary Dean gets to beat up Rollins a little bit, and Hunter blows a stack and gets him hauled out of the building because he should know that this was going to happen.
I will screw up the entire pay-per-view.
And there's another soundbite I want Dean Ambrose's, and I'm going to get more than my money's worth. Let's see. What else do we have? Okay, Henry Rusev. They had a beautiful moment going into this match, but they still didn't convince me to change my pick. Jason's jaw was on the floor while Lillian Garcia was singing the Star Spangled Banner. And unfortunately, they kept the cameras on Mark Henry, who was showing how emotional and how powerful this was supposed to be for him.
Fantastic theater. Fantastic theater. From a big fight, emotional moment, you couldn't get any better than that. Perfect.
No, it was very good. I have nothing against it, except that Rusev won.
Yeah, exactly. But it was pitch perfect. From a theatrical perspective, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As most of us guessed, Randy Orton was going to take care of Jericho since Jericho's got book signings and concert tours and three kids and a trophy and his beautiful wife. And when the fuck does this guy sleep? The closest I can get is he slept when he got hit with an air KO. Paige, AJ, and Nikki, I hate to say it, but my thought that Nikki was going to win this really took a lot away from it, from me even being engaged in watching the match. Did you go refill your drink during this match, VRM?
There was too much football going on.
And Jason, you told me, you gave me some rather bad news that despite this match and despite the fact that this pay-per-view was going sort of pseudo head-to-head with Total Divas ratings went up.
Yeah, I'm going to give you one. Let me give you some numbers on that I'll find it. But yeah, the Total Divas numbers actually went up during the from week to week on this, which is insane. That goes to show you that the Total Divas show and brand is beyond the WWE, you know, the WWE thing, you know,
What gets hard is the fact that since they have to tape it, since all this is pre-recorded, Vince keeps flip-flopping on whether or not he wants, you know, the drama from Total Divas to translate to TV and, you know, can we tie it into the storylines? Can we do this? Can we do that? Vince, let's just treat it as a separate entity. You can talk about them being on Total Divas, but let's keep it separate.
Yeah, and by the way, the September 7th, which was the premiere, did 1.2 million. Episode 2 went under a million, which was 974. The 921 episode, 1.18 million. That's insane. That's insane. And 0.6 in the 1849 demo. It's a hit. It's a hit. I don't get it, but it's a hit.
And they something they talked about on SmackDown tonight, the fact that they finally found a reason to use Rosa Mendez. They put her on that. That's perfect for her. However, I have one thing. We have our respect for Michael Cole. But I swear to God, Cole, don't you ever use Latina heat to describe Rosa Mendez.
Wrong!
Eddie Guerrero is not smiling. Vicky Guerrero is more Latina heat than Rosa Mendez ever will be. I shall now step off my soapbox.
No, I'm with you. When I actually heard that tonight, that I was like, really? What?
I was told that Twitter blew up over it, too. And there were people demanding Cole apologize to Vicky and Eddie. And I agree. I'm sorry, Rosa hasn't earned that yet. Go ahead. What happened to salsa that they used to use for her when she was out there? Who was she managing? Epico and Primo?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So anyway, okay, but that was SmackDown. That wasn't on the pay-per-view. AJ gets the belt back from Paige. So Nikki wasn't even a factor.
Which shocked the hell out of me, to be honest.
And it surprised me, too. That's, like I said, I was settled in for the inevitable. I thought they were going to put the belt on Nikki. She had the corporate backing. She has, you know, the Total Divas thing. And this epic feud with Nikki and Brie, ha ha ha. It doesn't need the belt, but couldn't hurt. I'm just happy to know that that belt is still around the waist of a wrestling female.
Amen and hallelujah.
Let's see. When we got to the main event, some of the stuff they had been doing for the build, and you guys are both MMA guys, so you both probably appreciated this. They did MMA-style stats for the Cena-Lesnar SummerSlam match. Actually, I was impressed.
Again, the little touches that make the match great. VRM, you saw with the number of strikes, ground attacks. You liked that a lot, didn't you?
If I think I had football on at that point.
Oh, wow. Shame on you.
Shame on you. Seriously, this... Nikki, this made the match bigger than it actually was, and I like that. It made the match awesome. It really did.
So, you know, the good news was that, you know, this match was more competitive, which is expected for guys that, you know, faced each other in a short period of time. And again, Cena is not a freaking underdog, so WWE, stop that. Anyway. Good match. You know, we saw, you know, there was a possibility that Cena was going to win, and then Rollins crashes the party with the briefcase, drawing the DQ. Now, here's another powerful moment. Rollins clobbers Cena with the briefcase. Cena rolls out of the ring. Lesnar is out on the mat. Rollins gets up, and he's like, holy shit. Lesnar's out. Wait a minute. Cena's on the floor. I could cash in. Oh, crap! Lesnar's waking up!
And then, boom! Curb stomp, right?
Yes, okay. One great big ugly curb stomp, and then he ran down there to cash in, and Cena broke that up, so...
Boo! Sorry.
No. I'm okay with this. Schmoz finished... You don't usually finish a pay-per-view with a schmoz, but this one I was okay with. Not like either one, you know, Cena wasn't going to look bad or Lesnar was going to look bad if one or the other won or lost. It didn't matter, but it made sense. And it helped on Monday night. Because we had Ambrose who wanted to tie Rollins and Knotts, and then Cena came down and says, I want to tie Rollins and Knotts too. I don't know who that is, but tell them to call back.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell them.
Anyway, so Ambrose is this close to tearing into Cena. Who wanted to see that?
Me.
You're flying real close to a plane, John.
Don't make me not like you, John.
I was like, yes, thank you. I was like, but yes.
But I have a question, though. He was part of the S.H.I.E.L.D. that tried to kill him for a year. You know? Didn't he not like him anyway?
I mean, something about easily forgiven and mutual enemies.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm just, you know, I'm going, okay, I'm putting together wrestling and logic. I'm sorry.
Oh, by the way, especially in the case of Ambrose, let me sum him up in two words for you. Chaotic neutral.
Yes.
Yes.
Or, by the way, I like the term lunatic fringe. That is such a brilliant name for him and his fan base. The lunatic fringe. I am a member. You know, really good. But yes. So
I came up with Deanarchy, but that one isn't taking off. So yeah, Cena wants a piece of Rollins. Ambrose wants a piece of Rollins. The Authority isn't going to give him Rollins. So what do? They go get him. They go get him. So let's see. Ambrose almost gets Rollins and almost gives himself major road rash when he falls out of the back of the van that Rollins stole. That's some CZW crap right there, folks.
Yeah, blood, without the blood and the guts. By the way, do you actually have Pick'em results?
I don't think Statboy sent me anything.
All right, so we'll get it.
Let me check one more time. Because I know
I didn't partake in any manner, so.
So we know you didn't win. And Statboy sometimes won't send me the. Okay, no, I do have the Pick'ems. Whoops. I hate that.
Sorry about that, Nikki. I just wanted to make sure that we just end that completely. That's all.
No. You're right. I need to get those numbers for you. The only wild card that was given was Delgado's. Although Forth should get his for Rollins costing Cena his match. And Delgado called Ambrose ambushing Rollins. That didn't help Tom. I don't see Tom's score. Oh, well, I'll do a little bit here. Fourth, that would have given Forth 3 points. And put Brian Henniger at the absolute bottom at 2. Robert Seidelman actually got involved, scary enough, and he scored 3 points. Jason, you and Ethan are tied at third with 4 points.
I'll take it.
Me, Statboy, Jim, and Beeman are in a schmozzed pile in second place at 5. Meaning that Statboy is no longer the Fizzleweight champion.
All right! No, I'm sorry. Sorry,
however,
Josh.
We're gonna need two belts and extenders because we have co-champions at 6 points, which means I think WWE did their job and mixed it up enough for us. So our co-fizzleweight champions are Carl Chenier and Chris Waters.
Nice.
So congratulations, Hi Muck and a Muck, and Chris, you're not worthy, and you'll get that joke. Anyway, so let's see. Raw, 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 raw. A wild Ambrose appears. Yes, we know this. Okay. Everybody hates Rollins, and it's not just Cena and Ambrose. Orton wants to beat him up now. Because Seth is being almost as entitled as Orton has been in the past.
pot, meet kettle.
Yes. Kettle, you're both dressed in black.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So, you know, hey, Orton, how's it feel to be on that side of it? Anyway.
Yeah, very good, yeah.
And, oh, by the way, Seth doesn't need any assistance to escape on his own.
Baby oil!
Hi. Okay. So, yes, Mr. Rollins, please stop starting fires that you're going to make me and Kane put out. Because Kane doesn't like putting out fires. He likes starting them. So, what else we have? We had Ziggler get his win back. And he pulled down Miz's trunks, but that wouldn't have been as spectacular of a view. Let's see. We had Bo Dallas. Now, my notes say that they believe that Bo is destined to head back to Orlando.
Well, the way they're booking him, yeah. I mean, look. I mean, when you had Swagger beat him clean again, what does Bo Dallas do? You know?
Grow beard and find his brother. Anyway,
Yeah, by the way, where have the Wyatts been?
They're at home not washing their clothes.
Isn't that a little bizarre, too? We didn't see them at Night of Champions, and they weren't on the show.
And some of the number threes are like, oh, my God, you know, they're going to get pushed back down to NXT. Oh, no, you know, this really sucks. They're going to get, you know, they're getting deep pushed. No. They got kicked around a little bit the last couple of months. So let's freshen them up and take them off TV for a little while. As far as I know, none of them are hurt.
Correct.
So, and you're probably right about Bo Dallas, because when a freaking bunny does better than you, oh, come on, VRM. Adam Rose and the bunny.
Did they change the head on the bunny?
They probably had to do some alterations to the costume to make sure that the head stayed on. While Lepus South Africus was wrestling.
Laporide South Africus, yes. Very good. Wow.
You brought that in, Jason. A picture showed up on the Freakin' Awesome Network boards that compared a couple of the moves that Bunny did, and we're pretty sure that was Justin Gabriel in that outfit. It will not be him when they do the reveal, but I think they would have something better in a video package that I came across just before we went on the air. A Darren Young comeback video that is like dark, serious, felt like a boxing montage.
No kidding.
I'll have to pull this up again. I only watched a couple of minutes of it, but I was like, whoa, that is not the Darren Young that I know. Or remember. And I'm not saying that because of, you know, what he feel, you know, what he likes to do outside of the ring. Nothing wrong with it. In fact, you completely forget about it watching this video. You will completely forget about that watching this video. That's how good it is. So let me get that link for you. It's a little long, so I'm not going to play it here. It's about 8 minutes, but I watched like 2 or 3 minutes of it, and I'm like, who's this? But when the reveal comes, you know, I am looking forward to that. Okay. Happy Scary Dean. Go ahead.
Can we say that Monday night was actually a actually some of Cap Amy's work actually getting into the product before he even made it.
I think I thoroughly believe that WWE superstars watch his videos and are probably stealing ideas to the point that even Ambrose was allowed to out meta Stephanie. When they caught Ambrose, Hunter wanted to throw him out of the building. Stephanie says, "How many times have we thrown people out of the building for them just to come back?" And I'm like, when I heard her say that, I'm like, yeah! It's like, meta! So, what do? They throw them in a room, lock the door, and they put 5 security guards in front of it.
AKA indie wrestlers who get their $500 check.
Good work, guys. Good work. Unfortunately, Dean also watches the product and remembers a little routine with Kane and the Big Show. When Kane got locked in a room and they blocked the door with a forklift, so Big Show's make this big deal out of moving the forklift away, and then Kane walks up behind him. What the hell? There was another door. So Dean remembered that. There was another door. I want to know how he got in the box.
Oh, you mean that gift box from earlier on with Hulk Hogan's birthday or something else?
Oh, no. See, what they did was that for the main event, Kane and Orton decided that they were going to leave a little surprise out at ringside, which was supposed to be another bin of cinder blocks.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And this is you're right, VRM. This is something Kappa Anime would write. So they get, you know, we get to the point where they're ready to use the cinder blocks on Cena. They go over there, they pull up the box, and here's Happy Scary Dean. Complete with Seth Rollins freak out. And the entire crowd going batshit over it because it was awesome. It doesn't have to make sense. It was awesome.
Yes, I'm going to even make it even more funny. I'm guessing that Dean Ambrose has now learned to play Metal Gear Solid, if you know your video game references.
Yes! Okay, I now need a picture. I now need somebody to take a GIF of Rollins' reaction with a giant red exclamation point.
And yes! we need the sound effect.
Yes, very much so.
Wow, I just
win.
Thank you. No, it's just because you said box hidden, solid snake. There you go.
Exactly. So
box. Hold on. Let me get the volume up on this. Box hidden, solid snake.
Okay,
oh, goodness.
Oh, man. Wow. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
So we're having all this fun, all this fun at this level, but the main event picture is...
Oh, yeah.
God.
It's terrible.
The main event is proper fucked.
Well, let's see. First of all, we have Daniel Bryan still recovering at home, and they're projecting that he will be back for the Rumble. There's no time that there's various timetables out there for Roman Reigns. They'd like him back for the Rumble. Dude, don't rush. Please don't rush. I want you 100% when you come back.
Exactly.
Well, 4 months would put it in time for the Rumble.
True. So, and yes, I would like him to come back and spear the bloody hell out of everybody. And a couple of Superman punches to Cena, but that's right. Just me. So, their next Golden Boy is out for a few months after surgery. Daniel Bryan is still laid up. John Cena is not an underdog.
And he's fighting Seth Rollins right now on the road tour, meaning, and the rumor is, that he is not going to fight Lesnar in the cage, which is what everyone thought it was going to be.
We don't even know if is Brock even going to be at Hell in a Cell.
The rumor is no.
Interesting. Okay, that I had not heard. So that's fine. Give me Rollins, Ambrose, and Cena in the Cell.
Number one contender match?
You bet. Rollins will do everything he can to get out of it because he's Mr. Money in the Bank. Even if Ambrose has his briefcase, which I called a couple of months ago. I've been waiting for this. So, you know, where's that button? Where is that button? I know I still have that button.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it! Woo!
But granted, I got metacannoned when they said, look, you still have the contract. It doesn't matter if he has the brief. It doesn't matter that he has the briefcase. He can't use it to cash in. Oh, come on. So anyway, we are to the point that we're a little short on main event. And you really want to get the internet spinning? Guess where Raw is next Monday night?
Depending on if the air traffic control center is fixed.
That's true, because there was a fire there, yes.
No kidding.
Yeah, an employee... let me give you a little red state, blue state action.
Yeah, talk to me.
A FAA facility was set on fire at a Raiders center and basically closed both Midway and O'Hare in Chicago, Illinois.
Oops.
Yeah.
Let's see. I know that the live shows this weekend are both in Ohio. They're doing Youngstown and Toledo, which is pretty much just up and down up and down northern Ohio. Raw will be in Milwaukee. Which means...
Okay.
Not Green Bay, Milwaukee. SmackDown was going to be in Milwaukee because Raw is supposed to be in Chicago. Now, Toledo to Chicago is probably 7 or 8 hours by bus. Because that's up in the northwest corner, so you're not that far from the Indiana border. Now, granted, you have to drive through Gary, so lock your windows and lock your doors and roll up your windows. hi. So, unless they have to scramble and schedule somewhere else, I don't know what's going. I, like I said, you caught me completely off guard with this. Raw next Monday night was supposed to be in Chicago, so I'm sure there's some internet spinnings that a local Chicago native might get a phone call. Because right now he's probably sitting on his couch and saying, man, you guys are so screwed. You're so screwed. I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
Maybe I am. No, I'm not.
No, I'm not. And Colt Cabana sitting next to him says, no, you're not. I know you're not.
Hey, AJ, can you get me a Pepsi?
Well, the one good thing for WWE is there's no Blackhawks game on Monday.
No.
Oh, okay. So that means he doesn't have any excuses. So, if the evil boss was supposed to call him, Yeah, that'd be kind of messed up, but I could see it. He's chilling at home, watching the Bears.
Yeah.
The phone rings. Chicago Firehouse, how can I help you?
Hey, Phil. It's Paul.
Paul? Paul who?
You know, Levesque, your boss, the one you walked down on 5 months ago.
Oh, hey, Paul. Hey, how's business? How's the kids?
The kids are fine. Business not so good, man. Look, we got Raw next week. We need a little network buys. We've been using your footage on Monday Night War and lots of other stuff. And, you know, the ones you shot before you left and all that stuff. And, look, man, Reigns is hurt. Bryan's hurt. We're trying to not use Cena and break him down. Come on back, man. We'll work something out.
Oh, we will?
Oh, come on.
We work something out. Oh, what could we work out? Yeah. If you wanted me that bad, I want Hogan money. I want Mania. I want my title. I want the title shot that I've been asking for, oh, I don't know, 5-6 years. And I like what you're doing with AJ. I'm okay with that. Nah, I'm just kidding.
All right, fuck you.
Sorry, number threes. Ain't gonna happen. Sorry, he's happy.
Sorry, he's, internet.
He never, is happily ever, retired.
Never, ever, ever, ever. Watch, they're gonna hold me to that.
Yeah. It would be nice. It would be awesome. Tate happening right now.
No.
And we discussed this earlier, Nikki, and I want to ask you this. And this is a legit question, okay?
Okay.
Let's say, for argument's sake, he did a one-shot in Chicago.
Okay.
He would have to really kiss a lot of people's ass to get back in there, don't you think?
And as I said, personally, if he did come back for a one-shot, he would walk in and he would look at Hunter and Steph and say, "You guys should be apologizing to me." And he'd look at the rest of the locker room and he says, "You guys do what you need to do. I'm doing what I need to do." And that's because that's just Punk. And it's part of it's a little bit of the indie mentality. It's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of arrogance on his part. Admit it. But Punk is arrogant and he has every right to be.
Pay attention to me!
So, I don't think the boys will be mad at him. I honestly don't think they can be mad at him. Some of them would probably just be frustrated because they don't have half the cojones to try that. So, it's just a matter that, you know, like I said, if and that's a pretty big if he was to show up, yeah, he would be asking the brass for apologies. He wouldn't be apologizing to anybody.
Do you think he gets mentioned at all Monday night?
No. And the only other thing I could think of is there's only two other things they could do. They could have Pauly troll the crowd again. Barrett's still on the shelf, which bothers me. If Sandow wasn't so immersed in his Mizdow character, I would love to see him do a Punk parody, but I also want him to live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I think anybody else doing a Punk parody outside of my dear Uncle Paul will be shot on sight.
Pretty much. Oh, yeah.
So, Oh. Ooh. Yes, broadcasting note. Not for us, though. October 10th. Please circle this on your calendars, ladies and gentlemen. As SmackDown will be celebrating its 15th anniversary.
No shit.
Wow.
15 years?
15 years. What started as a B-show with an Ovaltron and later evolved into probably the most awesome set in the world with the giant fist. I'm sorry, that is still the most awesome set ever. To being the Raw recap show. No,
no.
No. I shouldn't say that. The 15th, I don't know if they're going to do, if this show is going to be live for them, or if it's going to be a clip show, or what they're going to do with it with this event. I just know that there's going to be a lot of footage that should be on there that won't be on there. And I understand. But some of the stuff was funny and cool. There's one show from January 2004 that I want on there.
Chris!
Please, I'm sorry. It's funny. It's still funny. I don't care. Well, I got one word stuck in my head. Chris?
Could you remind me of that one, please?
Okay. My dear Uncle Paul was running SmackDown at the time. And John Cena was being John Cena. At this time, this was a good ways into the Dr. Thugonomics phase. So my Uncle Paul, trying to stay heel, kept trying to censor him. To the point that he put Cena and Rhino in a wash your mouth out with soap match.
Okay.
If Rhino won, Cena would get his mouth washed out with soap. If Cena won, Uncle Paul would get his mouth washed out with soap. Lol, Cena wins.
I believe this is also at a time when they were doing their best to try and keep Benoit out of the Rumble.
Yeah, this was closing in on the Rumble where, you know, no, Benoit can't be in the Rumble. No, Benoit, you know, they're doing everything they can to keep Benoit down.
AKA Daniel Bryan version 1.0.
Pretty much. So, Cena wins the match. Paulie runs for the back. Benoit catches him at Gorilla. Brings him back out. Rolls him into the ring. Was going to put him in a crossface. And Cena's like, no. I need to be able to reach. And so Benoit puts him in a sharpshooter. And Cena turns to the crowd and says, "We ready for some soap?" And so from here on, he brings a bar of soap into the ring. And my uncle's begging for his life. Begging for his reputation. "I'm a powerful man. You can't do this to me." There will be words exchanged about this. And Cena would say, I got this one word stuck in my head. Chris! And Benoit would tighten the sharpshooter, and Paulie would scream even louder. Just that. I want to see that. If I can't see that, can I see the other one with the lifeguard tower that they threw my Uncle Paul off?
Oh, jeez.
And personally, yeah, there's a promo from around that time. Thank you for reminding me, VRM. So when Vince went after Heyman when Benoit won the Rumble and then went to Raw because there wasn't a rule at the time during the brand split.
And that was the precedent.
Yeah, that was the precedent. So Vince was going to fire Heyman right there, right then and there. For letting this happen. To which my dear Uncle Paul drew himself to his full height, which is still shorter than Vince, looked him in the eye and said, screw Chris Benoit. Because you would have done the same thing. When Hall and Nash decided to jump ship to WCW for the better money and started the Monday Night War, did you panic? No, you said, screw Hall and Nash. I will find somebody to replace them. When Bret Hart was giving you headaches and you found out that he was leaving too, you said, screw Bret Hart, and boy, did you. And Vince said, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Oh, by the way, I just literally found a bit of doofus from our boy Santino Marella.
Hooray!
Hey!
He is now rapping in a commercial for his training academy. Take a look at this.
Oh my goodness.
Oh boy.
It's called Where You Training. Where You Training. Jiu-jitsu, wrestling, striking, and more. Boot camp, kettlebells, retail store. Women, kids, and the professional fighter. Or maybe you wish to be a little lighter. Battle Arts Academy, where you're training. Come drop by and have a little fun. Southwest corner of Tompkins and Eglinton. That's Mississauga in case you want to come. Or check out South, battlearchacademy.com.
Words. I think is how he would put it. Words. Words.
Yeah. He is now the star of the rap, you see.
And in, I'll put a word for it. Points.
Yeah. Seriously, he rapped through that commercial.
No, that was cool. I liked that.
Yes, do Fossity. There you go.
Santino, you don't have to come back. Do that. Do that.
Yes, do that.
Do that. And I know where Mississauga is. I can't get there from here,
So do I.
I've been to Mississauga.
Just fly right into Toronto Pearson and you're right there.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Ah, yes. Jason.
Yes.
You had volunteered to do the mandatory TNA news.
Yeah, we have a couple of things. I want to talk about the more lighthearted stuff first. Tonight on CBS started the 25th edition of The Amazing Race. Now, usually I don't talk about WLTI stuff on here, mm-hmm. but one of the teams is Brooke Adams and Robbie E., who are one of the 11 teams.
Mm-hmm.
But now, in May, which they actually had, they filmed this over the summer. In May, they started out in my hometown of New York City at the TKTS booth, went to the Globe, the Flushing Meadows Park, where the World's Fair is, if you know that area,
mm-hmm.
or know of it, and then flew off to the Virgin Islands, where they are now in third place after week one. So they are outside of their normal TNA career, they're doing better. Thank you very much.
They might actually make some money.
Yes, exactly.
Hi.
So right now they have survived week one. So, but the bigger news is, and I pointed this out to you,
mm-hmm.
is that they may be striking a new TV deal.
And the only thing that's confirmed is that it's not Spike.
And Spike's going, yay.
Spike's going, and unfortunately, you know, the media uses the term, well, we don't have any, you know, we haven't been able to confirm from multiple sources, which means we might not even know what the hell we're talking about. The one rumor I saw somewhere was WGN, which sent the zombies off on another, oh, CM Punk's going to TNA thing.
Yeah, right.
I think I could have a show just on Mikey talking about the TNA zombies. I really could. Unfortunately, by the time I get it together, TNA is probably going to be gone. But if they do get another network, you know, who in the world would be interested in them now? I guess would be the better question. I'll start with you, VRM. Where up and down the dial would they go?
The one that keeps popping into my head, which would not be a very good market anyway, because not a lot of people get it, is Esquire. Although I doubt it. I doubt that. Now that I think about it, no, they wouldn't do that because that's NBC Universal.
No. Jason, what do you got?
The only thing that really makes sense to me is to go back on Fox Sports, because you've got Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2. You know,
and they could go on either one of them.
Yeah, give them an hour. You know, give them a couple hours each week. They need the programming, let me tell you.
And Dixie keeps saying, oh, but we need a second show. Get your first show working, lady. Just get this. I don't want to say this on the air. Anyway.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. That's MMA, but yeah, same deal.
No. I mean boxing. I definitely mean boxing.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah.
So
okay.
Anyway, so but Fox Sports probably wouldn't be a bad place to go. I'm trying to remember what Mikey and I were talking about. Because there were a couple, we went through a couple of other channels, and he's like, well, why would they pick up TNA if they didn't show any interest in WWE? And I said, probably because the asking price would be a whole lot better, because Vince was running around wanting NASCAR and NFL money.
Yeah,
and God love you, Vince, but no.
No. Yes, no. Not fucking happening. Sorry.
No. So to, you know, I don't mean to run this all the way back to WWE, but until we know what channel TNA has landed on, if they have indeed landed a channel, it's not really too much else I can put out there. So Vince apparently still thinks he's kind of bleeding money. So when they put out the WrestleMania travel packages, my bank account said, no.
I think Ethan had something to say about that, actually.
Yeah, he did.
I'm thinking of a number between one and no.
Now, I'm guessing some of the prices are that exorbitant because it's California.
Well, yeah.
And everything's more expensive in California. Period. Paragraph. So why are they going bankrupt? Anyway, so the travel packages, the least expensive one that they're offering, I think, was $900?
Yeah, $900, lower bowl seating, two general admission sessions at Access, Hall of Fame induction ceremony, Raw, round trip rail to WrestleMania, WrestleMania 31 dine around card for various restaurants in the San Jose area, and hotel accommodations in San Jose area. Which I'm.
Now, this doesn't include airfare, does it? From what I'm seeing here.
No.
No. That's about okay. The only thing that is. That's about. That and the rental car are about the only things that aren't included. With this, that doesn't seem like a bad deal to me.
No, that's not a bad deal at all, given that.
I might actually pick it up.
I've got to think a little bit more about this. I really want to think a little bit more about this. But some of the packages go as high as $5,500.
Yeah, which is ringside seat and chair, which your seat is actually provided one day after purchase. One premium VIP session and one VIP session at Access. Exclusive reception with the superstars prior to Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame ticket, floor or premium level 100 seating. Raw, ringside or floor seating. A trip to a California vineyard with WWE legends in the Taste of the Valley experience.
Oh my God, a bunch of drunk old guys.
No, somewhere, there's a picture somewhere of Stone Cold Steve Austin with a glass of wine, and that's the first thing I think of whenever I read this.
And then like, add the rail transportation, the dine around card, and the hotel.
So, you know, it's if you add all that up and you did it all separately, it probably would come out to about that, give or take. So, yeah, but ow. Wallet says ouch. My wallet says ouch. My checkbook says I'll try. But we already know how that's going to happen. And so while Vince is trying to make money, Dave make money. Dave made friends in Hollywood. Dave making new movie with De Niro.
Hello? Yes.
Hello?
Yes. It's pretty cool. This is his first big role after Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm going to check my sites at Box Office Mojo. I believe, let's see how much it is made worldwide.
While you're looking that up, I'll read the buzz lines on this. Batista's booked a lead role in the new thriller alongside Robert De Niro called Bus 657. The plot of the film is about a former casino card dealer who puts a crew together to rob a bank and hijack a city bus as collateral. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is tapped to play the former casino worker. He brings in Batista to rob the place. De Niro will be playing the casino's owner.
Yep, and Carl's right. $634 million worldwide. Dave smart.
Dave smart. Dave rich. And Dave starts shooting this movie in October, which means if he wants to do one more Mania run, which he knows, you know, hey, you know, I'm making good money, but if I want to wrestle, I'm going to have to get it out of my system soon because I ain't going to be able to do this too much longer.
Yeah, by the way, Guardians of the Galaxy is the domestically the fourth highest grossing of the Marvel franchise so far behind Avengers, Iron Man 3, and Iron Man 1. Okay. And I just want to get the actual box office worldwide where it stands out in the series.
So yeah, Dave smart, Dave rich, Dave Hollywood, and, you know, God bless him. You know, congrats, man. I mean, to retire from wrestling into a movie career, Rock wishes he had done it that way.
hey, Rock is Rock's the number one guy of all time. He made $1.5 billion in 2012. Okay, true. In his movies. Okay.
Yeah.
He says, "Yeah, go ahead, laugh at me for Tooth Fairy."
Okay, yeah. it's still fifth behind Avengers 3, Captain America 2, and Thor 2.
It's a very smart deal because if Dave can follow in Dwayne's footsteps, good for him.
And then the floodgates will be open from there because, I mean, now that, you know, they've had Cena do a couple of movies, Dean Ambrose just did a movie, Miz has done a couple of movies. Sky's the limit for these guys. So, if all of these guys run away to Hollywood, we still have NXT. Oh, and That reminds me. I have a button to press here. Prince Devitt, step up to the name generator, please. At least that was the internet's initial reaction. Devitt is now known as Finn Balor? Baylor?
Balor?
I don't know. I want to say Baylor. But I don't think that's right either. The name doesn't do it for me. I understand it. Because Devitt actually didn't have to use the name generator. I shouldn't have done that. I don't care. It was still funny. Devitt has explained where the name, how he built the name. Finn is not a tribute to Adventure Time.
Damn it.
Yes, but the fan art will still be out there because that's what they're going to, a lot of fans are going to think of. It's actually, Finn comes from a Irish warrior, Finn McCool, since McCool is already taken. Yes, I know she doesn't work there anymore, but come on. And Baylor, which I've seen spelt slightly differently, is the name of a Fomorian giant or a demon of Irish folklore. So there's history. He's taken two historical figures and essentially made his name translate from these two historical figures as the Prince Warrior of Death.
Yes. Nice.
So to that, VRM, does he win or lose at the name game here?
I'm going to use the option to hold. Yeah, I'm stealing it from a BS Big Show, but I'm going to hold on it. We'll see.
Fair enough.
I'll hold as well. I mean, you know, put it to you this way. As long as Kevin Steen can keep Kevin Steen, I'll be happy. You know?
True.
You know, I'm not flushing it down the toilet. I'm sort of jiggling the handle a little bit, you know?
Well, it's not Buddy Murphy bad, and it's not Simon Gotch good.
Right, exactly. Right.
So I probably should sit with you guys. I gotta let it grow on me. And speaking of the name generator, somebody else had to hit the button because WWE is actually looking at and then decided to sign Arda Okal.
Yeah, baby. No kidding. Nice job.
Woo-hoo. He's done a lot of WWE-centric programming for the Score. So the Fed said, hey, you kind of know what you're talking about. Come here. Arda Okal. How about you stand right here for a second? Sorry, man. Your name is Kyle Edwards.
Kyle Edwards. Can I say it?
Go ahead.
Let's see. A Turkish Canadian gets a real white boy name. Nice job. Really?
I'm sorry. The name sounds like a NASCAR driver or an ESPN2 commentator.
Very nice. Hi, this is Kyle Edwards at Darlington Motor Speedway.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think I just proved your point. Wow.
Now all you need to do is do a backflip.
Let's go to Buddy Baker.
Yeah, no, all we need him to do, Jason, is do a backflip off the turnbuckle.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, he's a commentator. There is, by the way, Kyle Edwards is a NASCAR driver. For real.
Carl Edwards.
Well, Carl Edwards, that's right, yes. Kyle Edwards, his younger brother, yes.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. And the jokes in the chat are getting better and better. Let's go to Buddy Baker. No, let's go to Buddy Murphy.
We got a bicycle here.
Hey! Charlie! Oh, Charlie Murphy! Charlie Murphy. Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
Oh my goodness! The internet is trying to tell us that we probably need to get off the air before we get any sillier.
I'm a James, bitch.
Okay, I tap. I officially tap out. Fiora, promote something.
If I have anything to promote, it'll be tomorrow night. I'll try to get WCSD together. We'll probably talk about Carl Edwards, who, oh wait, he's not in the chase, is he, this year? But we'll talk about Derek Jeter's last game at Yankee Stadium.
And oh, was it so beautifully booked? I'm sorry. It was.
I said it. Yes. I agree. It was.
It was. Kirk Cousins. 1 week you're the hero of the week. The next you are. Oh my gosh.
What?
You can't get by with six turnovers in a game.
No.
And let's see, what else have we got? Hockey is starting up next week. Basketball is still a month away. Good rinse to that. the Ryder Cup. Oh, yeah, and some more champions.
Champions!
All right, now.
Oh, hi, Jim.
Yeah, speaking of champions, Jim, let's talk some baseball.
Yeah, very quickly, the final regular season Touch 'Em All podcast is up for your listening pleasure on CLW83.com right now. It was me. It was that Brooklynite, Jason, what's his name? Jason Hernandez joined us from out in the Bay Area while he was doing his ballpark tour, D.C. Lundberg, Ian McClin. We went over which series were most important heading into the week that almost now we can say was. Talked about Clayton Kershaw being better than everybody in the known universe, which is pretty exciting. Lots of different things we talked about and touched base on, no pun intended. And we'll be having another show sometime next week. We're doing a new podcast before each round of the postseason, so we'll do one before the division series. Might do like a quickie extra in advance of the wild card game, play-in games, not sure. Oh yes, and we did talk about number two. Derek Jeter.
Before he went out in grand style.
It is hot. It is fire. It is off the wall. Boba Fett. Bob Barker. Exactly. Sorry, don't ask. But that was exciting.
I won't. That hurt.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's Jason's favorite announcer, John Sterling, the great voice of. He says through the skin of his teeth. But and also, like facebook.com/touchemall, we have updates on everything going on now, including the fact that a manager got fired today, Kurt Gibson of the Diamondbacks, and the little team that could, the Kansas City Royals, are in the postseason. I love
nice.
It. So give a listen, give a like, give a listen and a like. And now back to ponies.
Yeah, first time since 85.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. First time in 29 seasons. Exactly. Yes. Thank you, El Paso Profundo.
And I'd like to go next, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Yeah, VRM kind of touched upon football talk. Yeah, we did BS a day earlier as we record this little thing. I'm putting it on the site right now. We point and laugh at a certain fail in Detroit. Sorry.
No, you're allowed. You are more than allowed.
Discount That's... double ACL tear. But yeah, BS is going to be up, and then we'll see next week if we can get through the show without any damn controversy. Likely not.
So, Jason, you've got the rest of the plugging, I'm sure.
Yes. We're not going to do, hopefully, one. We're going to do two. Count them, two Pixel Nations this weekend. And, Nikki, you're invited to one of them, actually.
Oh?
We are actually going to do that retro gaming podcast that we wanted to do. And, you know, Carl, it's going to be tomorrow sometime, right?
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, it was going to be sometime tomorrow. And, Jim, I just unmute for a second. Do you want to do Red State, Blue State this weekend? Or
it is, we'll play that by ear, given some stuff that's happened in the last few minutes, let's say.
I saw it on there.
I'll just say, thoughts and prayers to my cousin Rosemary. She was in a bad accident, so...
And no, I mean, because we had an attorney general resigning, we had airstrikes in Syria, and we had a worker in Moore, Oklahoma behead somebody. So I don't know if you heard about
that. Yeah, nothing happened.
Nothing happened. So so we can talk about that this week. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, and of course, thanks to everyone who listened to my excellent WLTI interview with Sarah Manchester, the latest winner of the $1 million. Few people listened, so I'm really happy about that.
Hint, and coming soon, perhaps. Hint, hint.
Yeah, hint, hint, more coming soon, yes. So, hoping on that to happen. So, So I think that's it.
All right, and for anybody who wants to listen to other episodes of the North American Wrestling Connection and all the other podcasts we have mentioned in the last 5 minutes, CLW83.com. You can do so also through Stitcher Radio, through Player.fm, and also our new partners through the Freaking Awesome Network. If you don't want to listen to us, there's a bunch of other goofy crap out there that's worth watching, listening, reading, and the forums. There's some cool peeps there. Trust me. So, for Jason Block, for VRM, for Jim Williams, who only had to pipe in at the end of the show.
Only.
For our high mucky muck, Carl Schneer, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Stay doofus, my friends.
Thank you.